What's going on, everyone? This is another post-game wrap-up. I'm your host, Grayson Grundhafer, and we're just going to talk a little bit about the Baylor Bears' 35-24 victory over the Texas Tech Red Raiders. The Bears are bowl eligible. How about that? After winning one game a year ago, Baylor has won five more than last year to get to six wins and 4-5 in conference play, and they're going to get a shot to, you know, increase that by going to a bowl game and possibly winning that to get to seven wins. But Coach Rule and his staff have done an awesome job this year keeping this team focused, you know, through the highs and the lows, still been able to persevere and, you know, be able to get wins. And this one, you know, obviously it couldn't have come at a better time. The last game of the year, both teams need a win to get to a bowl, and Baylor came up big and beat a team that a lot of people had been praising all year long. A lot of people have been talking about how good Texas Tech was, and you know, Baylor was just better. I mean, point blank, Baylor was the better football team, and I know Texas Tech had some injuries at the quarterback position, but at the end of the day, it's all about, you know, getting the win, and Baylor was able to do that, and Tech was not. And on the flip side, kind of just what happened because of this game, potentially, Cliff Kingsbury is out as the Texas Tech head coach. So some fallout there, and definitely it appears Baylor has regained all the momentum. Texas Tech started the year extremely strong and looked like they were well on their way to maybe competing for a Big 12 championship, but that was not to be, as they don't make a bowl. And on the other side, Baylor beats them by double digits, you know, gains the momentum back. They're going to a bowl game. They're going to get the 15 extra practices. They're, you know, another month of practice. And that's big for a team that, in my opinion, is still young and is still inexperienced to a certain extent. And this month is just going to kind of accumulate, you know, getting the reps, getting the practice, getting use more comfortable with Phil Snow's defense, especially for the younger guys. And this is just a win-win for Baylor, and I think this is a win that could catapult Baylor into next season a little bit and continue to drive momentum to making Baylor a perennial bowl team again. And I think they're at that point now, and, you know, getting wins like this is not easy. Baylor hadn't beaten Tech since 2015, so this was a big one. This was absolutely a big one, and today I'm just kind of going to go through some of the top contributors for Baylor and some of the key stats that played a huge role in Baylor winning this football game. But, you know, overall, I would say Baylor probably comes away feeling like they probably could have won this game by more points, to be perfectly honest with you. Baylor pretty much dominated the majority of statistical categories. Had 28 first downs compared to 20 for Texas Tech. Baylor was 6 of 11 on third down, and Tech was 10 of 16. So Tech had a slight edge there, but Baylor had, and that's kind of an interesting stat, because when I was looking at it, it kind of surprised me that Baylor was only 6 of 11, because the first drive of the game for Baylor, they were 5 of 5 on third down, so that means they were only 1 of 6 the rest of the way. So I guess I really didn't notice that throughout the game, how they kind of just leveled out on third down, but they didn't really need third down. So that's kind of a big part of it, too. They were moving the chains on first and second down, which obviously is a great thing. Baylor had 478 yards, and they held Tech to 347 yards. So a huge difference in offensive production in this game. And that's a credit to Baylor's defense. That really is. Baylor's defense stepped up and got some big stops in this football game. And so, yeah, that's a big one. And passing yards, Baylor had 308 compared to Tech's 247. Baylor had 170 yards rushing compared to Tech's 100 yards rushing. Penalties, you know, Baylor had 12 for 80 yards and Tech had 8 for 85 yards. So even as far as the yardage goes, but Baylor just had a horrible time with false starts in this game. My goodness, I think the freshman tight end, Christoph Henley, had four of them on his own. So that's definitely something that these practices will help when you change tempos like Baylor did. Baylor was going slow, and then they decided to go a little no huddle, and that seemed to confuse guys a little bit because you got to get up to the line quicker, you got to know what you're doing quicker, and that appeared to cause a little bit of confusion at times for Baylor. And once again, 15 practices, that gives you all the time in the world to try to clean those things up as you head in to the bowl game, and then of course next year as well. So another positive to making a bowl game. Turnovers, 2-2. Both teams had two interceptions. And then time of possession, which is probably, I would say, the biggest stat of the day for sure for Baylor, was 36 minutes of time of possession for Baylor and 24 for Texas Tech. So, yeah, that was huge. They were able to keep Texas Tech off the field, but to me, it wasn't even keeping Tech off the field that was the biggest thing. It was the fact that Tech's defense had to be on the field for so long. It just felt like as the game progressed, Tech's defense was getting worn down, completely worn down. And that's why I say I feel like Baylor probably thinks they could have won this game by more. And if you go back and look, you know, in that second half, Baylor really dominated this football game and really could have scored a ton more points. So that is definitely something to think about, you know, moving forward. If Baylor can really, you know, jump on teams like they did against Tech by holding the football for so long, and then in the second half be able to really wear on them, that can cause really good things to happen. And I believe it did in this football game. And it was just a great performance really by Baylor. And so, you know, moving on to some of the individual stats, Charlie Brewer, 22 of 30, 308 yards, 3 touchdowns, the 1 interception. He also had a rushing touchdown on a QB sneak, but he was great. And to see him respond like this was huge after really not playing well against TCU. And I know the level of competition defensively was significantly different, but he just looked much more comfortable. He was running the offense extremely efficiently, and the run game really helped him. Really helped him be able to find some easier throws in this game. And the bigger thing for him, though, was the shots deep. And he connected on, you know, quite a few of them. The ones that I'm thinking of, Tyquan Thornton's 41-yard touchdown, that was a dime by Charlie. And I know Tyquan had him beat horribly, but Charlie put it right on him. Perfectly thrown football. The throw to Chris Platt, it ended up actually being the right throw because the defender was pretty much stride for stride with Chris, but Chris adjusted, made it a back shoulder throw, came back to it and caught it, and that was another big play. And Baylor hadn't had many big plays like that, so to see, you know, those two connect with him taking a shot deep, that was great to see. He took some shots deep to Denzel Mims as well. One of them got intercepted, and part of that was he put a little too much air under the ball and needed it to come out on a string, but that happened a couple times in this game. But overall, I was really impressed with Charlie's ability to get the ball deep. I was impressed with the offensive line holding up to allow the receivers to get downfield and allow Charlie to try to put up an accurate deep ball. So that was a big part of this game, I felt like. He was able to spread Tech vertically downfield, and you know, when you're able to do that, it opened up a little bit in the run game. And that really helped Baylor continue to move the football. And you know, Baylor didn't run the ball very well early in this game. And if you look at the numbers, 3.3 yards per carry is really not good at all. That's terrible, to be honest with you. But they ran the ball 51 times, 170 yards, 2 touchdowns on the ground. But the bigger thing I felt like was watching that game, particularly in the fourth quarter, Baylor was able to run Tech out of the game. They were able to hold the football, run consistently, get yardage late in that game, and it allowed them to really lower the time of possession, not allow Tech to really feel comfortable with how much time they had left to try to win this game. And it was really impressive. Really, really impressive to see, you know, exactly what Coach Rhule wants to do. And that is, you know, you get a lead, get out to a lead, try to impose your will on a team, and then late in the game, really impose your will on a team by running the football, absorbing the clock, and just ending the football game. And Coach Rule's done an amazing job in the fourth quarter of games when he has the lead. He's got a great track record with that, and it continues. So his streak continues when leading in the fourth quarter, and it allowed Baylor to go to a bowl game. You know, allowed them to finish up with a very good season. And moving over to the receiver position for now, Chris Platt, 6 catches, 114 yards. It was great to see the senior have the kind of impact that many were thinking he would have. He had the really deep catch down the sideline where he adjusted and came back to the football. That was a big one. Probably an even bigger one was on the first drive. I believe it was 3rd and 12. And he just, Charlie Brewer just threw a bullet to him, and he was able to sneak in between traffic and catch the football while getting hit. A really, really tough catch. And he was able to come down with it. And that was big. That was a senior type play by Chris Platt. And Baylor was able to score a touchdown on that drive because of it. And so that was another big one. He caught a ball in the flat and caught it, and he just took off down the sideline. You finally saw Chris get into the open field and show the kind of burst that we've seen from him in the past. And he was barely tripped up, just barely, or he was gone. No doubt he was gone. And I'm really excited to see him get another month of just continuing to get his body right. I know he's been playing all year, but a whole nother month to just recover and get ready for this bowl game. I think Chris Platt could be able to finish his senior year on a real high note with this last game. I saw a lot from him. Denzel, way to show up, man. Denzel was awesome in this game. He drew a couple pass interference calls. He caught 5 catches, 65 yards, caught 2 touchdowns. One was a nice, you know, was able to catch it on the first drive of the game, and he got hit, and the ball almost came out, and that's one we've seen Denzel drop before, but he was able to hang on to it. And then the second one was probably the worst defensive coverage I've ever seen. I mean, he was just standing at the goal line, caught the ball, was in the end zone before he got touched. So that was a really weird play. I don't know how he got that open. I know they were probably in zone coverage, but my goodness, he was wide open on that touchdown. But he really showed up in this game, and it was great to see him, you know, trying to get more involved. And I posted this on the board, and early in the game they were going to him, and I said that's a great sign. And it seems like when Baylor goes to him early and often in games, it allows him to get into a rhythm, catch a couple easy ones, and then be able to take the top off the defense. We got to see the freshman, Tyquan Thornton. He had the deep ball where he just absolutely torched the defender. He was probably 5 yards ahead of him, and Charlie put a perfect ball out there, and Tyquan caught it, got the touchdown, his third of the season. And, you know, young guy that's really stepping up, and a young guy that's just going to continue to get better and better. I see a lot of potential from him, and to see his speed on display is really fun to see. And so as Baylor heads into, you know, bowl practices, they're going to probably be able to find ways to try to get him the ball even more, especially since they have Platt, Mims, Hurd all out there. He's kind of a little bit of a forgotten commodity by other defenses. So it'll be interesting to see if Baylor can utilize him a little bit more in the bowl game. Jalen Hurd only had 3 catches for 41 yards. He seemed a little bit banged up in this game. He had to leave the game for a little bit. He came back, but he seemed like he was banged up some in this game. But he had a decent impact. He made a couple plays, and so he was pretty good, but not great. Not the Jalen that we've seen all year. So it'll be interesting to see if he can, you know, recover with these bowl practices as he kind of gets ready for the bowl and then gets ready for the NFL draft to see what he can do. As far as the defensive side of the ball, you know, Clay Johnston continues to just be on a tear. I mean, I don't know. I think this guy is finally starting to get healthy, because my goodness, he has his last 4 games, he's got 17 tackles, 9 tackles, 15 tackles, and 12 tackles. So he's been a guy that's been flying all over the field. And I think we're starting to see him finally get healthy, and he's probably the one where I'm expecting that bowl game comes, I'm expecting him to be 100% and maybe be the best player on the field, period. Because he flies to the ball like a man possessed, and as he starts to get healthier and healthier, get his speed back that we have seen in the past from him, he's going to be an absolute force for the Baylor defense. I felt like Chris Miller had some good moments. He got a lot better after the first drive, because that first drive of the game, he got caught completely flat-footed, and it allowed a busted coverage for Texas Tech on their first drive of the game for a touchdown. But after that, he calmed down a little bit. I still see so many flashes from Chris, and I think his athleticism is something that the Baylor staff really likes, and he contributes extremely well tackling, very, very solid tackler, has gotten better as the season has progressed, still has plenty of work to do, don't get me wrong, but I like him. I really do. I think that he's only going to get better, and so as a junior, he's going to have to take those steps, but I think that, you know, aside from the big plays that he has a tendency of giving up, whether it's missing a tackle here or there, just getting beat deep, other than those plays, which, yes, they're very hurtful plays, I think they're correctable in the future, and because he makes a lot of little plays that go unnoticed. And so he's definitely a guy that I felt like had a good game, you know, kind of recovering after giving up that big play. I felt like he played much better football as the game progressed. Another guy I want to mention is Blake Lynch, because he really had an opportunity to have his best game of his career. He had a couple interception opportunities. One of them that went right through his hands might have been a pick six for him, but he played really, really well in this football game. Like I said, he had a chance to make it the best one ever because he did catch an interception late in the game. But he had an opportunity at two of them. Maybe one could have been a pick six. So I think he's starting to show the kind of ceiling he could have in this defense. And, you know, the 3-4 seems like it fits him pretty well. He can kind of float around a little bit in coverage, get up, make some tackles. But he looked much more comfortable. And that's another guy. And this is what I'm talking about. You know, I go through this list of guys that have either been hurt, have given up some big plays this year, don't have a ton of experience, and I keep listing them because, you know, Blake Lynch getting 15 extra practices, are you kidding me? That is awesome. That is so great for him, because, you know, learning this new position throughout the year, you know, the fall and then coming into this year, he really could use all the extra reps he can get, and this is going to be extremely beneficial for him and his development. So it was great to see him play a good game of football. And the defense as a whole played really, really well, I felt like, in this game. Harrison Hand and Raleigh Texada. Texada had the pick that really sealed the game pretty much on TJ Vasher. I was able to, you know, get in front of him and make a play. And he had one earlier where he was in front of him too, but the ball was a little bit too far. But he had some really good coverage at times on these receivers and came up with a huge play that Baylor really, really needed. So great to see him continue to make an impact. And then Harrison Hand had, much like Blake Lynch, Tech kept throwing that ball, you know, from one side of the field to the other. And four times, Hand or Blake Lynch, I think they both had two opportunities to make an interception, make a play. They couldn't quite do it, but they were in position to make those plays, and so they both had, you know, great opportunities. Hand played decent in this game, but again, you know, he wishes he had that pick back, because it probably was a pick six for the Bears had he caught it. So he played well, but, you know, left a little bit on the table. And then one guy that I have to mention, because my goodness, I just feel like he has had such a good year, and I know he's had bad moments too, but Derek Thomas has been awesome for this team, and he's going to be a guy that is going to be extremely tough to replace. Now, I know they got a lot of depth at cornerback, but to see him do what he did against Antoine Wesley was extremely impressive. I mean, Wesley has been destroying teams all year long, and I know he didn't play well against Kansas State, but against Baylor, Four catches, 35 yards. Derek Thomas did a fabulous job covering him. I think he got away with maybe one pass interference early in the game. But other than that, he played great coverage, was able to hang with him and not allow McLean Carter to make that throw to him. So it was big. It was big to see him do that and see him continue to improve and improve. And he just is going to be a guy that I feel like will be tough to replace. And, you know, whether it's Harrison Hand or Jameson Houston or, you know, Raleigh Teixeira or Graylin Arnold, one of those guys is going to have to step up and be the guy that can cover those big-time receivers in the Big 12. And by big-time, I also mean tall receivers. And with Wesley and Hakeem Butler, Derek Thomas has done an absolutely awesome job on both of them. So really encouraged to see what he did in this football game. And, yeah, that's pretty much the main points from this game. But the biggest one is that Baylor's going bowling. And don't know what bowl game they're going in yet. It's looking like the Cheez-It Bowl seems like the most likely for now, but we won't know that till Sunday where they're going. But really great to see Baylor come out with a focused energy about them. And yeah, they made some mistakes. They continue to make some mistakes. But at the end of the day, this was the most important game on the schedule because it was the next game, as Coach Rule would say. And they came out with a different level of focus, a different level of intensity than Texas Tech did. And Tech couldn't match it. And Baylor executed the game plan flawlessly and came away with a victory. And so now, you know, Baylor's going to wait, and we're going to find out where they make a bowl on Sunday. But a great win for Baylor. I said the Oklahoma State game was the biggest win of Coach Rule's career, but to get into a bowl, this was the biggest win of his career, in my opinion. And Baylor comes away with the win 35-24 over Texas Tech to become bowl eligible. And that is all for Sikkim365.com. I'm Grayson Grunhafer, and this has been a post-game wrap-up.